Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. As you likely know, the church calendar does not follow the annual calendar. The church calendar generally follows the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. And so in a few weeks, as we begin the season of Advent, we begin to prepare for His imminent coming into the world. And therefore, that marks the beginning of the new church year. And so every November at about this time, we are focused on the last days, on the end of the story, the return of our Lord, what we call the great day of the Lord. The end of the story signifies that this is the end of the world, the end of this life, this body. And in place of all that, we read in Revelation and elsewhere in Scripture that we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth and an eternal future for all of us. And that expectation prompts some people to say, well then, bring it on. I'm ready for new. I'm tired of all of the war and the conflict of this world. I'm tired of the sickness and the disease. I'm tired of struggling to pay my bills every month. I'm tired of the arguments and the tension. I'm tired of all those other rotten people out there making my life miserable. I'm just tired. New? That sounds appealing. I'll take it. Then we encounter the words of the prophet Joel. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and darkness. And later on, Joel declares, the day of the Lord is dreadful. Who can endure it? And just in case you think Joel might be a kind of an unusual pessimist, we hear the very same kind of question come from the prophet Amos from our Old Testament reading last weekend. He asks, why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. Well, now with that kind of promotion, that kind of advertising, we may suddenly be prompted to back off from our enthusiasm for the end of the story to come. And suddenly our bring it on attitude may be replaced with a not so fast. Perhaps we ought to just keep the heaven and earth that we have because this other imagery sounds more frightening than appealing. Now, others take an entirely different view when confronted with the prospect of the end of the story, the return of our Lord. Theirs is a view of denial and indifference. Many will say, we're fine, just the way we are. Sure, there are problems, but it's nothing we can't fix ourselves, right? If we only get the right leaders, enact the right policies, stop the wars, fix the crime, prevent the arguing, we can fix it all ourselves. And besides, many will argue, this is all there is. New heaven, new earth? I don't think so. We're fine right here. Human ingenuity and resolve will solve all the problems that need solving. And so you can peddle your end of time, day of the Lord story somewhere else. And to that view, our Lord spoke through the Apostle Paul. Through in his first letter to the Thessalonians wrote, "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." While people are saying, "There is peace and security," sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Now, that's quite a different image than the one portrayed by Joel, but surely it's equally disconcerting. Here, the Lord's word makes clear that even while people indifferent or even opposed to God are striving to build and sustain this world, that day of the Lord will come and interrupt and destroy all of that human work and replace it once and for all with the final plan of God. And for those who simply insist on rejecting or denying or simply ignoring the Word of God, one has to ask, what is creating real peace and security in this world apart from God? And if you look honestly at the world, what is it that we are accomplishing on our own? What do we accomplish apart from God? Now, some will argue that our technological advances seem to be nearly infinite. Perhaps that's true. It does seem like we can build anything. And it is fascinating to watch. As we build smaller and faster and smarter gadgets that do more and more things for us in our daily lives. But all the while, we continue to build bigger, more sophisticated, and in some cases, uncontrollably powerful weapons. And so what have we accomplished? Can we honestly say that we have brought more peace and security into the world over the last 100 years than there existed 1,000 years ago? And to believe that we're going to get there if we simply just try harder has to be the ultimate in wishful thinking. So if we are not deceived into relying solely upon ourselves, then how does one respond to the end of the story, to the prospect of the day of the Lord and His return? Well, both the prophet Joel and the apostle Paul convey how God would have us look ahead in the knowledge of His return. Through Joel, God invites, "Yet even now, return to me with all your heart and rend your hearts and not your garments." God wants your heart. He wants all of you. Not just an act of piety or some religious tradition. He wants all of your life. He is calling each one of us back. Back from the excuses that we make so often that pushes God to the sideline of our lives. He is calling us back from the indifference to Him and His Word that any one of us can be so prone to practice day in and day out. Often I have heard it said that religion is just not my thing. And in response to that, I always want to ask, so then is death your thing? Because unless you have figured out some way to avoid it, and I know of no such way, unless the Lord returns, it will come. And on the day that this life is over, what then is going to be your thing if not faith in Jesus Christ? Instead of living in a kind of denial, God continues to call us away from a reliance on ourselves and the world, and instead calls us back to Himself. Return to the Lord your God, Joel writes, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God's faithfulness prevails. Even in the midst of this broken world, even as so many will deny His presence among us. But for those who will turn to Him, the God who is abounding in steadfast love calls us out of darkness and into the light. And here we read again from St. Paul. He says, "For you are children of light, children of the day. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through Jesus Christ." The real darkness and gloom, the real consequence of this broken world has already been taken on by our Lord Himself. When Christ went to the cross, on that day we call Good Friday, when He went on our behalf, He carried on Himself the wrath of God and the sins of the world, even your sins and mine. And the gospel writers report that that was a day of deep darkness. Jesus confronted that darkness for us. And so we no longer need walk in it. We can walk in the light. That's Paul's encouragement to the Thessalonians, and it's the same to us as well. As believers in Jesus Christ, then our identity is in Him. And therefore, Paul says, let us not sleep as others do, but let us be awake and sober. Now, he's not talking about missing out on needed rest. He's not talking about pulling all-nighter after all-nighter. No, to be awake is to understand the truth, to be aware of the truth. To be asleep, in this sense, is to be unaware of God, unaware of who He is, unaware of the consequence of sin, unaware of His promise of grace, unaware of the certainty of His return. To be sober is to recognize that Christ will come again in glory, and that while we wait, we live in Him. For all whose faith is in Christ can continue to say with great confidence, let the end come. Bring it on. Let it come. Because even through darkness and wrath, the light of Christ will shine. And all of us whose faith is in Christ will stand in that very light forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds enlightened in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.
We join together in confessing our faith using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth,